Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. I would like to welcome everyone tonight to another broadcast of Advanced. I am your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. Amen. And I'm excited about tonight's broadcast. It's an unusual boldness over me tonight. Amen. So, amen, we're going to get right into this word, amen. But lately I have been posed the question about kingdom relationships and all of that kind of stuff. And even had some antagonists, praise God, even had some antagonists in this area who have opposed my view on this area, and that's fine. We are free to disagree. But prior to all of this started happening, the Lord started dealing with me and my wife a while back about godly disconnections. Amen. Godly disconnections. And today we're going to talk about godly division and biblical disconnections. Amen. There is a such thing. And I'm going to prove to you in the Word of God today, amen, that God does cause a separation sometimes in many different relationships, amen, when they become ungodly or unfruitful, amen, God begins to cause a separation. And many people use certain scriptures out of context to justify why they are in certain ungodly or unfruitful or unproductive relationships. Amen. Amen. This is the season where God is going to eliminate all the excuses for ignorance. Because God is raising up teachers now who have a revelation and a proper understanding of certain scripture in context. So that way when it's being taught and relayed to you, you won't have an excuse of ignorance. Amen. Many times, because scripture is taught out of context, we are forced to stay in something that God says sever from. And my God, I'm getting ready to step on some toes tonight. Because I hear many given prophetic declarations, words and utterances, that this is the season of kingdom relationships. I've heard that so many times, and while I do agree with that, you know, because God is linking people and yoking people of like mind and spirit together. God is yoking those type of people. Understand that you cannot bring old dead connections into a new one. See, my God. You cannot bring old dead connections into something that's new. You cannot bring something old that God has declared to be dead into something that's new. Amen. I'm not talking about, amen, God adding to you. Adding to what you already have. I'm talking about God subtracting from you so he can add to you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Y'all mighty quiet on this line tonight. Amen. And see, here's the thing. I'm here tonight. My assignment tonight is to put it all in its rightful perspective, in its rightful place, so you can understand. Amen. That God is calling you to sever some ties. God is calling you to disconnect from unfruitful and ungodly relationships. Amen. See, before God could establish me in new relationships, there were some old ones that became unproductive. And the enemy got was allowed to come in, amen, amen, and fill the hearts of certain ones, amen. And I'm just telling you my experience. I'm pretty sure some of y'all going through it too, amen. I can relate, amen. And those connections was hard to sever to my flesh, but in my spirit I knew that, hey, where God is taking me, certain things and certain people can't go. Y'all know y'all been there. Some of y'all there right now. Y'all still trying to hold on to people who you practically got to drag in the things of God. Oh, come on now. Some of y'all dragging people. Some of y'all dragging folks. Well, that's not love, Apostle. That's the first thing I hear people say. That's not love. You can't give up on people. Amen. Releasing people don't necessarily got to be giving up on people, but at some point in time, you have to consider your destiny too. Oh, that's selfish, Apostle. No, it ain't. Amen. There are There are many, 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 many. Hando Shikataya Hosataba. There are many who preach reconciliation, but they preach it out of context. All right? I'm going to show you what the Bible says about reconciliation real quick, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to go here, and I'm reading from the New King James, not too far from the King James. Amen. And I'm going to start at verse 17. It says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us. If you have a pen or highlighter, highlight or underline that word us, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us. Underline that word us, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, oh my God, through us we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. All right? So let's look at this scripture real quick, because see, many use this scripture to say, oh, God is a God of reconciliation, and he is, but not in the context in which you're speaking of. In its proper context, we can even see in verse 20 where the Apostle Paul said, we. And see, when he said we, he was referring to himself and the apostolic team that accompanied him. Amen. So you see the words us and we used interchangeably here in these passages of scripture that I read to you. All right? The Bible is very specific. I mean, we like to make it more complicated than what it is, but it's very specific. So, Paul was talking about himself and the apostolic team that accompanied him. So, the apostles are ambassadors for Christ, reconciling people back to God. Okay? Paul said we. He said we and us. He didn't say everybody else. He was describing the ministry that God gave him as an apostle. That's the context of the scripture. People don't like that. Do you know what an ambassador has? What an ambassador does? Amen. What an ambassador is assigned to do? Every believer can't handle that weight. I don't have too much time to get in there. I've gotten into that in previous segments. Amen. And maybe I'll set aside a time. Praise God. Where I'll go over that, amen, and maybe I'll set aside a time where I go over that, praise God, and we begin to really dissect that, amen, the ambassadorial side to the apostolic, all right? But as apostles are ambassadors for Christ, reconciling people back to God. To reconcile means to reestablish a close relationship between, or to restore friendly relationship between. So this is talking about reconciling a fallen world back to himself. Amen. A fallen people, Andio Shataya, a fallen people Because, see, in order for reconciliation to be to take place, there had to be some type of relation before. And the relationship fell apart. All right? So God here is talking about the part of the apostolic ministry that restores backslidden, traditional, legalistic, professed believers back to God. When you fall away and you leave God, amen, amen, part of the apostolic ministry is to restore people back to God. People who was once in relationship with God, but they fell away. So you notice it was the evangelists who bring in the new converts, but you know, those who come in, amen, they start experiencing God. Some of them fall off, amen. Some of them fall off. And part of the apostolic mantle, you know, the assignments of that mantle is to restore people back to their rightful place in God. We promote and advocate relationship with God. One main function of the apostolic is to teach people and to equip people how to get in their own personal, intimate relationship with God. Amen. Everybody's not graced for that. Amen. So, this is what the Bible is speaking of when it talks about the ministry of reconciliation. Not your dead relationships, not them folks God say let go of. Huh? Amen. It's not talking about your dead or unfruitful relationships. Apostles are called to restore a righteous fellowship between God and his people. When there's a breach in relationship, God gonna send the apostle. He'll send the prophet to point you back to God, but he'll send the apostle to establish you or to reestablish you in that relationship with God. Amen. So when it talks about the ministry of reconciliation, that's what it means in context. Every believer don't have the ministry of reconciliation. I'm sorry. Amen. That is assigned under the apostolic mantle, and I just prove it to you in scripture. Now, every believer who's apostolic can tap into a measure, but they don't have the full ministry of or the authority to carry out the full assignment of that commission. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can stop trying to justify our dead relationships, the people that we could, honestly, if you call yourself a believer, amen, you shouldn't have unsaved friends. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. You can't have unsaved friends. I heard this famous pastor in Texas, he said some of his best friends are homosexuals. I ain't going to say his name, Joe Osteen. Yes, he said it. Amen. And yes, I called his name. Because that's error. It's one thing to relate. And see, Paul said, I became all things to all men. That means that he's putting himself in a position to relate to people, not compromise and befriend, come on now, the world. We're supposed to show love, compassion, amen. But your best friend should not be a hooker on the corner or a dope dealer. Oh, come on. Or somebody who's just living any kind of raggedy lifestyle if you are a believer. Oh, that's judgmental, Apostle. I can hear some of you in the spirit right now. That ain't love and that's judgmental. The devil is a liar. That's true. Because the Bible, my Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not in you. Oh, see, people don't want that. Amen. Let me prove to you somewhere else in Scripture, since many people don't believe me. Turn with me to Matthew 10. I'm going to go here. People just ignore these scriptures when it comes to stuff. Amen. And people get mad at some of y'all when y'all cut them off. And then they all hurt and rejected because you had to cut them loose. No, it ain't nothing personal. It's about the kingdom. Matthew 10. I'm going to start at verse 34. It says here, it says, "Do not think I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is Jesus talking. Amen. This is Jesus talking here. He says, "For I come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." I didn't say it. Jesus said it. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Handolabohosha. I hear your Holy Ghost. Some of you need to let your grown children go. I just heard God say it. Some of y'all need to let y'all grown children go. Some of y'all right now are babying and pacifying and always trying to bail your children out and rescue them. Some of you trying to maintain a godly home, and y'all got these grown-tail children bringing all them wicked spirits, amen, in your house. You allowing it. This is why you're going through what you're going through. Some of y'all need to just love them, don't reject them, but at the same time, let them go. See, you can't maintain a Christian household if you're the head of it, but you're allowing sin to go on in your house. I'm talking about grown children here. And some of y'all who got teenagers too, y'all need to put y'all foot down. And be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care if you don't want to serve the Lord. You're going to serve him while you're here. Yeah, you're responsible for your environment. Well, we can't force it on nobody, Apostle. Where we get all this weakness and softness from? Huh? Jesus was humble. He was compassionate, but he was militant. When they was hustling in the temple, he braided up a whip and whipped them all out the temple. Turned over the money tables. So where do we get all this? Where do we get all this old softness from? God, I feel all that on the line. Where do we get all this stuff from? That's not the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent take by force. Whatever happened to that scripture? Amen. Manstiko Shataya. Now listen here. Praise God. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace but a sword." That sword is denoting a division. A division. You know the will of God will cause division, right? I'm going to give you another scripture. Luke 14. I'm going to give you another scripture. Let's go here. Because see, we're going to have to bring some balance to all this stuff. Amen. And I ain't saying, you know, just go and reject everybody and treat everybody mean and nasty. That's not character. Amen. But there's going to come a point in time in your life where certain relationships that are unfruitful are just going to have to die. Luke 14, let's start at 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now that word hate there in the Greek means to love less or to fall back or bounce back from. So it's talking about a pulling away from. It is not literal hatred. as far as despising a person. Amen. It's talking about a genuine separation because of the separation of wills. Amen. The will of God is contrary to the will that they've come to accept, so there has to be a genuine separation. Amen. So it's talking about here, if anyone does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children. Oh, see, this is right here in scripture. See, people think I'm making this up. It's right here. So let me say it in the right context in which you're saying. If anyone who comes to me does not love less or fall back from or separate or be willing to separate themselves from father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, whose will is contrary to Christ's, whose will is contrary to Christ's will, then you cannot be his disciple. Oh, y'all not liking me today. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So part of bearing your cross is you separating yourself from people who has embraced a will contrary to the will of God. Some people have embraced their own will and have rejected the will of God. That's going to cause a conflict. Light and darkness can't dwell together. I'm sorry. Because, see, darkness going to get irritated by light, because light going to shine and it's going to expose everything that was once hidden in darkness, and people going to start becoming offended. People going to start getting their feelings hurt. Now, see, people don't want to talk about that. Amen. So sometimes the will of God will cause godly division, all right? Godly division. All division is not bad. Don't let folks fool you. Everybody's trying to say, oh, all division is bad. No, no, no. Some division is ordained by God. I'm not talking about those who sow discord. I'm talking about when your season with dealing with a person is just up. And for some of you, it's been up. God been trying to get you to separate from folks. But in your heart, you weren't willing to separate yourself. Amen. Well, Apostle, I thought we was called to the lost. This got nothing to do with you being called to the lost. This has everything to do with your company and what you got attached to you. Oh, I see. There are many who are stuck because they're bound to unfruitfulness. Matter of fact, I'm talking to about 5 people on this line. That word was specifically for you. Or those who are listening through via internet. There are many of you who are stuck right now because you are bound to unfruitfulness. You're bound to that which is not producing anything. It has affected your relationships, even the ones that God ordained. It's affected your finances. It is affecting your mental state of being, because you are connected to something that is unfruitful. I don't care how fruitful it looks. It's still unfruitful. My God. So separation doesn't mean you don't love a person. It just means you love God more. Because remember, that word hate means to love less. Oh, y'all ain't hear me today. Some of y'all still want to hold on to Joe Blow around the corner. Some folks still want to hold on to people who God told them to let go of. God told you to let go of them, and you still want to go back. My God. My God, it's quiet on his line tonight. Amen. Now, go with me to Ephesians 5, since we're talking about unfruitfulness real quick. I'm going to go to Ephesians 5. Man stile bekushaya. Ephesians 5, I'm going to start at verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. King James says reprove them. Reprove means to correct or expose. So, watch this. Listen to me carefully. Anything unfruitful is a work of darkness. Hey man, I hope y'all heard me. Anything that's unfruitful is a work of darkness. Relationships, ministries, coverings, all that other stuff are all works of darkness if there's no genuine kingdom fruit that's being produced. See, we measure success or productivity by the quantity of something. Don't you know quantity is like the bottom list of it? What about the quality? Amen. Because see, you can have a church full of people that's on their way to hell. You have not accomplished nothing. You just gathered a big demon fest. Amen. But if you're raising up people of quality, amen, people who are living holy, people who are moving in the things of God, people who are moving in the power and the demonstration of the kingdom, then you have done your job. You've executed your assignment well. So I'm talking about unfruitful works. I'm not talking about quantity. I'm talking about a quality. Amen. It does me no good as a senior leader if all of my leaders are living raggedy lifestyles. If all my leaders can't handle their business. It does me no justice as a leader, and it shows the quality of people that I'm producing. Ah, my God. So, when I talk about unfruitfulness, because see, some churches are just taking up space, and they're really aiding the kingdom of darkness by taking up space, because they're not moving anything. They're not producing anything. There's some of you that need to get out these dead churches. Huh? God been pulling on you. You know that it's more to the things of God. You know that it's more to God. Amen. God is trying to push you in the realm of the supernatural, but you got a church that won't embrace it. You wasting your time. And it's funny how we get this word, oh, God called me to be here to help them out, and then they don't receive nothing you say. Sometimes we hear what's in our heart and not what the Spirit. Okay, all right. So sometimes we hear what our heart, but not what the Spirit of God is truly saying. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. Amen, I'm going to leave that alone. Praise God. But everything that God initiates or establishes, it grows, it increases, and it produces of its own kind. So eventually, yes, quantity is going to come. But not until quality is first established. I'm talking about that's the kingdom way. Rapid growth ain't always good for everybody. It's good for some things, but not for everything. Amen. Amen. I'm going to show you something that's about division real quick. I'm talking about godly division here, and I don't plan to be before you long tonight. Praise God, I really don't plan to be before you long, but I have to establish you in this truth. Amen. Because, see, many of you, and I've received many inboxes and people, talking to me about this very same subject, you know, and my wife and I came out of a similar season, so, you know, it's only right that I address it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 and 19. 1 Corinthians 11 and 19. Let's go here real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says here, and pay attention, For there must be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Did you just hear that? I think I'll read it again. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. What is it saying? Sometimes division must take place to prove who's authentic and who's a counterfeit. Amen. This is all in the Word of God. People think I'm making this up. This is all in the Word of God. Sometimes God will cause division, a godly one. And out of that division, it will eventually prove who's authentic or who's approved of God and who's not. Amen. Ah, Jesus. Many times division will expose deception. Godly division will expose those who are approved by God and those who are not. Those who act as antagonists to the will of God and the order of God should be exposed and avoided. Once the separation takes place, then that antagonist should be exposed and avoided. See, I'm about to pull some scripture up for y'all that we just skipped. You know, and this is why we got a church full of sin right now. We got a church full of people. A lot of times we have churches full of people that do not repent. They refuse to repent. Why? Because we keep pacifying sin. Many of us, we preach grace out of context, all out of context. Amen. We preach a whole bunch of stuff out of context. Why is that? A lot of times it's because of what we've been taught growing up. Amen? But I'm telling y'all, breaking away from some folks is good for some of y'all. Some of y'all have been holding on to certain relationships way too long. And once you heed the warning and the call of God, and separate yourself. Yeah, you can boo-hoo and cry long as you do it. And once you do that, I'm telling you, a lot of you will begin to be more freer. There's people all throughout my life that I've had to let go of, and once I let them people go, it literally felt like a whole person lift off me. Certain people are burdens and weights. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Sometimes the weight you got to set aside is people. Amen. Sometimes the weight you have to set aside is people. Amen. So, Romans 16. I'm just showing you in the Word of God tonight. Amen. I'm just showing you in the Word of God. You know, so that way people can't say I'm preaching heresy when I'm saying, look, you know, where everybody else is talking about old kingdom relationships and all of that other stuff. You got to keep in mind why God is connecting kingdom relationships and kingdom people together. Amen. There's also at the same time God is disconnecting and severing old, dead, unproductive, unfruitful relationships. Praise God. Romans 16. It says here in verse 17, now I urge you, brethren, the King James Version says, mark those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. For those who are Such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, or their own appetite, or their own will. Amen. By smooth words, flattering speech, and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. It says, mark those who cause division and offenses. And then in verse 18, it describes how they cause offenses, amen, and divisions by smooth words and flattering speech. Amen. It says, mark those and avoid them. Divisive people are to be marked and avoided. That's another evidence of separation. Amen. That is another evidence of a godly, genuine separation. Some of us, we like to hang around folks who be whoremongering, who be lying, gossiping, all that other stuff. You just in the wrong. You may not be lying and gossiping and whoring around, amen, but you hanging with the people who are in the church. All of this stuff was addressed to believers. My God. All of this stuff was addressed to believers. This was not addressed to folks who didn't know better. See, this is not even in reference to the world. This is in reference to believers. Oh, God will never tell you to cut your brother off. Oh, yes, he will. Especially if a so-called brother is unrepentant. People who refuse to repent and keep doing the same thing, after a while, you got to cut them loose. People don't like this stuff. Let me show you another scripture, because see, people think I be lying. And see, I ain't teaching nothing deep tonight. Praise God. I'm just giving you what's in the Word of God. Right here. Titus 3, verse 10, it says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. So after you warn them once or twice, reject them. What's so hard about that is right there in the book. Knowing such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Ain't he supposed to condemn nobody? They condemn themselves. The only thing you're doing is acknowledging what they did. Amen. See, we just ignore these scriptures and we keep homosexuals in the church on the praise team. Amen. We keep all these people in the church, keep them in leadership, people who set pitiful examples, we keep them in leadership. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something, senior leaders. We can't take nobody's call, but we can take their function. Uh-huh. They don't got the function in the house that you lead. You are going to be responsible for what you allow and the example that, oh my God, that your leader set. The leaders under you, they set a pitiful example, then guess what? It's your job to bring correction to it. If they sleeping around, making babies, and you still got them functioning, you can't take their call, but you can take their function. You can stop them from functioning in the house of God. People don't like this kind of talk, man. They don't like this kind of talk. See, some of y'all want me to prophesy. Some of y'all want me to give y'all a word from the Lord. This is your word right here. Repent, get your house in order. Get yourself together. Stop sleeping around. Stop cussing. Stop gossiping. Get rid of all that bitterness. Stop being jealous of folks. That's your word. I ain't come with nothing deep revelatory. I'm coming to you with the Word of God. Well, Apostle, that's not what I came on the line for. Well, You on the wrong line tonight. I love you. But the Spirit of God is grieved because we keep holding on to stuff that he said get rid of. Amen. The same Spirit that calls us to have compassion is the same Spirit of God that will make us kick some folks to the curb. Some of y'all are entangled in unfruitful relationships. Well, God will never tell you just to abandon your brother. And see, we come up with all this stuff. We come up with all this stuff to keep from being held accountable to the Word of God. If you're a believer, your friends shouldn't be unbelievers. I'm sorry. I ain't talking about witnessing to the world and, you know, loving on people that are not saved and ministering the love of Christ to them and, you know, discipling them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about friends. Some of y'all be going out shopping and kicking it with some folks who have insulted the Spirit of grace. It says reject a divisive man. Let me show you something else. I can feel some folks on the line like apostle just fumbling and bumbling. He out of his mind. No, I'm not. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 5. It says here, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken from among you. So he was saying, look, this sin is going on in your midst and you are puffed up and prideful about it instead of addressing it and doing something about it. Some of us are proud that we ain't there yet, as we say. Some of us get proud that we like to cuss folks out. Some of us get proud at that. Let me read further. For indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present. Now that's for the folks that say we can't judge. Apostle Paul said, though I'm absent in body, in my spirit, I'm already there, and I've already judged the situation. I've already made my judgment clear. Him who has so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So what was he saying? He was saying deliver him over to his father. Being that he don't want to repent, put him out and separate yourself. That's not love. Oh yes, it is. It's the love of God. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. He said, get that mess from among you. Some of y'all need to disconnect from these relationships and these old flaky people. Amen. People who refuse to repent. The word repent means to change their mindset. Here it is, God trying to upgrade you. And here it is, they stagnant. After a while, they're going to pull on you. And the purposes of God is going to be frustrated in your life because you are holding on to somebody that's stagnant. Or something that want to keep you stagnant. Andiosha. Now, let me skip to verse 9 real quick. It says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. So why is it that when people are sleeping around and stuff like that, we still want to hang with them? The Bible says don't keep company with them. These were people that knew better. Oh, that's rejection, apostle. You can't reject people. The Bible says reject them. Rejection don't necessarily mean you don't love people. But you want to keep pure what God is having on your life. See, God will cover you when you minister to an unbeliever when you go into dark places, as versus to you around a bunch of professed believers with a bunch of unclean devils. Y'all not liking me today. 10, it says, yet certainly I did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world. Once again, it's talking about brothers, those who are claiming to be Christians. Or with the covetousness, or with the covetous, or extortionists, or idolaters, since you would need to go out from the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, now this is the Bible, named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. It said don't even eat with them. So basically in this scripture, it's saying, look, don't keep company with people who are sexually immoral, people who are covetous. Now, people who are covetous are excessively materialistic, or they advocate and promote materialism all the time. They always want some type of possession, always want something. Y'all know y'all hang around some people like that. Amen. Break away from them today. People who are idolatrous, man. You know, and idolatry was a major part of their culture during the time. People who worship idols. Some people treat their man or their car as an idol. Don't hang around with these people. People who make idols out of stuff. People who revile. People who slander. Oh, come on. It's talking about people who slander, drunkards, people who always drinking, getting drunk, extortioner, man. I mean, extortioners, people who cheat in business, people who are dishonest with money. Don't even hang around them. And all of this is in the scripture, by the way. Uh-oh. Do you know some people like that? Extortioners are people who borrow without repayment. They steal, cheat. Come on now. All that. It says not even to eat with such a person. So some folks you just need to just cut off. Some folks say, oh, that's not love. Oh, yes, it is. If you love God, you do it. It says, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are on the inside? But those who are outside, who judge? God judge. God judges the world. God judges those who are in the world. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. He was saying, put them out. Everybody, the person that's doing all this, put them out. They don't want to repent, put them out. I'm telling you, those of us who are apostles, God is going to start apostolically charging us in this season to start evicting people out of our churches who refuse to repent. See, it's not about whether you have a struggle. It's the fact that you don't want to get rid of your struggle. You keep doing the same thing over and over again. Adabohoshaya. Amen. Bless God. People don't like this kind of talk. Amen. People don't like this kind of talk because, see, you know, we so used to that Mary had a little lamb gospel. You know, we so used to that Joel Osteen smile at you, say good words to you type gospel. Amen. We don't want to talk about this. But it's true. And see, people who are prideful and stubborn are ones who refuse to repent. And see, here's the thing. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. If you don't get that from around you, amen, you don't want to experience the backlash of that either. Because you refuse to follow through with the biblical principle of excommunication. Amen. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about prideful people and stubborn people. Proverbs 29:1, let me read it to you. It says, he who is often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So, people who are unrepentant are those who get addressed about their situation or what they're dealing with, but they choose to remain the same way. See, I'm going to tell you something. Sin is a choice. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the devil say. Sin is a choice. When you refuse to repent, that's a choice. Well, it's hard. It's a struggle. No, it's hard because you don't want to do it. Well, I do want to do it. Well, then stop. Repent. Turn around. That's proof that you want to, that's proof that you want to change. It's not hard as you making it. Oh, come on. Y'all don't like me today. That's all right. I love y'all, though. I love y'all. Amen. It's time to evaluate your relationships. And I'm almost done here. It's time to evaluate your relationships. Amen. It is time to start examining your relationships from the leaders on down. It's time to evaluate your relationships. And you're going to find out that there's some stuff that you connected to and some people that is just unfruitful. Huh? You're going to find out that you connected to some divisive people. Some of y'all, I just heard the Holy Ghost say, some of y'all going to find out that y'all connected to some effeminate and on the low people. Some down low folks who ain't all the way delivered. But whatever it is, examine it. And if they refuse to repent, sever it. Amen. See, I ain't getting no amens on the line today. There's quite a few of y'all on this line. I ain't getting no amens.
Amen.
My God, y'all.
Amen,
y'all quiet as a church mouse.
You're teaching it, not the Bible. You're teaching.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Y'all quiet as a church mouse. I'm telling you, folks don't like this kind of talk here. They get to start examining themselves, and then they start thinking you're judging them and stuff. Yes, I am judging you. The Bible says I can.
Yes.
Amen. That's apostolic judgment. Amen.
Say it.
Take what you do, hold it up to the Word of God, and say you wrong. Now repent. And if you don't repent, bye-bye. Amen. But this is what's going to keep our churches pure.
Atabohosha.
Thank you, Father. This is what's going to keep the anointing flowing.
That's right.
A lot of people lose the anointing. They lose the glory because they start allowing sin. And they drop and they lower their standards. So at one point in time, you was operating in such power and glory in God. And now all of a sudden, you get a little squirt here. You get wet every once in a while. That's because you have allowed sin and compromise, my God, to infiltrate the camp. And you've become tolerant. All in the name of grace and love, you become tolerant to things that grieve the Spirit of God. Oh, yeah. See, we use that love and that grace thing out of context. Let me tell you something about grace real quick. Let me show you something. I wasn't even going to go here, but I'm going to go here. Titus 2. Some of y'all done heard me say this scripture over and over again. I'm going to say it again. Amen. Titus 2. There you go. Verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. It says this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to who? All men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So what is it saying? That the grace of God teaches us to deny the very things that we try to make an excuse for.
Teacher Paul.
My God.
Oh, yeah.
So really, grace is not an excuse for sin. Grace eliminates your excuse for sinning.
That's good.
Amen. Because, see, grace allows God to touch us when we're unclean so that he can make us clean. The only reason why you ain't clean is because you choose not to be. Because you choose not to die to your flesh and separate yourself from things and people that are contrary to the will of God for your life. That's contrary to the standards of God. Amen. Praise God. So, here's the thing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Here's the thing. True repentance is the changing of the mindset. All right?
Yeah.
It is not you confessing your sins. Confession and repentance work hand in hand, but they're not the same. They both work hand in hand, but they're not the same. Because when you confess your sins, then you got to change your mindset concerning the sin that you just confessed before God that you did. And when you change your mind, you ain't going to do it no more. Ah, shitabahosa. And then you ain't going to want to be associated. See, here's the thing. This is how I know some folks ain't free from sin. Because, see, they want to be associated with the same people that's doing the stuff they used to do. They want to be associated with still some part of the world. Amen. They still want to be associated. And that's not God. Amen. That is not God. Amen. We're getting ready to go to a break. Amen. And then we're going to have some announcements for this week. Amen. And then we're going to close. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm just going to sing the Lord's song over you tonight.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Well, we just have an announcement, amen, for this week. This Sunday coming up on the 10th, Spirit of Elijah Ministries, which is the ministry that my wife and I oversee, amen, we'll be celebrating our second year anniversary. Amen. We'll be celebrating our second year anniversary. Praise God. We are excited about that. Amen. We do have a guest preacher coming in the house. Amen. And we're expecting God to speak and expecting God to move I thank you, Jesus, my God, my God, my God. Lord have mercy. I'm picking up somebody right now with starting to get a word of knowledge. Amen. I don't know if you're listening by air or you're listening through the line. Amen. But you have been experiencing some difficulty with your hip on the right side. God is touching it. God is touching that right now in Jesus' name. My God, you must have been praying for that, because God totally interrupted everything I was getting ready to say. Amen. To minister to you. Amen. So God has heard your prayers and he's touching that right now. If you just lay your hands on your right hip, Handio Shata, in the area that is having difficulties. Amen. God is beginning to touch that right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going to have to go back to the doctor. Amen. There's nothing to diagnose, because nothing is there. Hallelujah. Because God just healed you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Somebody been having some trouble with their heart. It seemed like some heart, I don't know if they call it heart murmurs or what it is. But if you lay your hands right there where your heart is at, Ashikotabai, lay your hands right there. Lay your hands right there. Do it quickly. Do it now. God is touching you right now. Be healed of the heart murmur in Jesus' name. And I command that thing never to come back. Eshito Sataya, ever again. You're free from it this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's somebody named Carolyn. Carolyn, I'm hearing the name Carolyn. Carolyn, within the next week, God is getting ready to come through very big for you, because you're in a desperate situation, but God is getting ready to do something supernatural for you. I don't know who Carolyn is, but God is getting ready to do something supernatural for you. Shitando Sakanda da Bohosaya. Supernatural. God is going to do something supernatural for you. And finances is just part of it, but it's dealing with your entire house as a whole. Amen. God is getting ready to do something very powerful with you that's going to bring you and your family closer together in your immediate household, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But on the 10th, y'all, Shikosai, thank you, Father. God is moving right now. The anointing is moving. And if I didn't call out your sickness or your ailment, amen, just receive it by faith right now. Begin to receive that thing by faith right now, because God, the anointing is moving. Amen. The anointing is moving. Hallelujah. And so I don't have to call your stuff out. Amen. You seize it by faith. It's yours. Amen. And it will manifest right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. My God. There's somebody. Now, this is somebody here. You're not on the line, but you will run across this broadcast and listen to it. I hear the Lord say, you've been diagnosed with something like a growth or something that's on your brain. That's on your brain. But what I want you to do right now is to lay your hands right where that growth is at. And I release the power of God to you right now. And I command that tumor shrink and it disappear. That it shrivel up and die, never to live again. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I release the power of the blood of Jesus to you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed right now as the power of God goes out to you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just getting all kinds of words of knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. But praise God. Amen. This Sunday on the 10th at 4 o'clock, amen, we're going to be celebrating our second year anniversary. We have a guest preacher in the house. Amen. And the address to our ministry is we're in the Hampton Inn and Suites hotel conference room. That's 12251 Jefferson Avenue. Once again, it's 12251 Jefferson Avenue. Amen. And we will start promptly at 4 o'clock. We are ministry that start on time. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And we're just expecting a move of God's Spirit. Amen. And I don't know what my spiritual sons and daughters are planning, to be honest with you. Amen. I left one of my leaders in charge of a lot of that stuff. Amen. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be a surprise. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you this. I normally don't do this on the line all the time. Amen. But if this ministry has been a blessing to you in any type of way, if God has moved in your life in any type of way on this ministry, from this ministry, amen, and if you're prompted of the Lord, we do have a website if you want to sow. Many times in times past, people have asked me, how do I sow into the ministry? It's right there, soeministry.com. Click the donate button, and they'll tell you what to do from there. Amen. Praise God. So with all of that being said, amen, we're getting ready to close out, amen. Are there any prayer requests on the line? Before we cancel? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. Until next time, you all, amen. Remember, Jesus love you. We love you too. Amen. Let's keep this thing holy. Sever those ungodly connections that need to be severed. Amen. So that God can do all that he needs to do in your life. Amen. God bless you all. Until next time.